You're listening to the Bird Dog Babe Podcast. In this bonus series, we fondly refer to as Whiskey and Wild Hairs, we are joined with Katie Willis as she shares the soft side of Bird Dog, in addition to a couple extra epic short stories. Pour yourself a glass of whiskey and share a laugh with one of my favorite storytellers. All right, let's get after it.
All right, so I'm going to pour my drink, my whiskey tonight.
Okay, are we... Is this our starting moment? Or are we starting?
Right yeah. Now? Yeah. Let's okay. start. Yeah. Okay. And I felt it was only proper.
Oh.
Bird Dog Blackberry Whiskey.
So I will tell
it's
you.
It's a right favorite. Now,
that is a powerful whiskey that I had never seen before my going away party to PA school. And my friend Shane Fox bought that. And then we proceeded to pull out of that bottle of cough syrup all night long. And my friend Galen, who made me this beautiful light strand of spent shotgun shells he found for Christmas lights.
It's pretty awesome.
Got super, super sick and puked up half a bottle of Bird Dog Blackberry whiskey, which because we were all hungover in the morning, we didn't know what was happening. And then one black bird dog that we know that inspired the Bird Dog Blackberry whiskey purchase consumed said blackberry whiskey.
Is that our bird dog story tonight?
No, that was not a story I wanted to tell. I'm just going to tell you that's an aside. This guy right here. Found out in the woods where my friend Galen had called the dinosaurs and described it as fairly certain he vomited up his socks out in the woods. And we were sitting around the fire in the morning. We were over at this campground where we were going mountain biking. And we were all talking about how the blackberry whiskey had blackberry bird dog whiskey had snuck up on everybody. It snuck up on everybody. It creeped right up. It pointed right at us. We had no idea that we were about to get flushed. And so he was like in the process of like walking up bleary eyed. Oh my God, I got so sick. I like vomited my socks up on the blackberry brandy. And we were like, oh really? And he was like, yeah, right over there. And points to where Bird Dog has like his head in the bushes and is just like,
so gross.
So be very careful with Blackberry Bird Dog whiskey because it will sneak right up on you.
All right. What are you drinking tonight, Katie?
In honor of our friend, is it Georgina or Georgia Buchanan?
Georgina.
Georgina, that's what I thought. Yep. I am going with a little scotch.
Nice.
I am drinking some 10-year Talisker single malt scotch whiskey. Scotch is interesting. The first time I had scotch, I was like, why is someone making me drink dirt and gym socks that have been used like repeatedly? and then somebody was like, oh, you don't start with those like super rich peaty Highland scotches for your first scotch. You should get something from the islands. And so then I started drinking. There's five regions of scotch making. I'm not going to remember them all. There's like Lowland, Highland, Islay. God, I can't remember. But anyhow, there's like five regions you can get scotch from. And so Islay is a very small, or Islay, I don't know. I'm probably
pronouncing Isla.
Isla. Isla. Isla.
Okay.
Isla, but is a tiny little island on the southwest side of Scotland. And it has really lightly flavored scotches. And this actually, Talisker is the only scotch distilled on the Isle of Skye. And technically in the Highland region, but it doesn't taste, it's not very peaty. It's nice and warm. I really like it. I do not have any stories about people vomiting in bushes off this, but I'm positive. And they probably like puke their kilts up or whatever. I don't know.
I love your detail and appreciation of whiskey. So thanks for bringing that. And cheers to Georgina for being your inspiration, because she is a rock star and has some of my favorite photos that she posts of her awesome wire-haired Vizsla pack. So
now that you've asked me what like my dream hunt is, and I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, I want a limited of chucker. Now all of a sudden I'm like, actually, I really want to go and like shoot grouse in Scotland with Georgina. Like maybe right. that could be. I really want to go out to.
So come with me next year.
And I want to go to the Prairie Pothole region where the sky is blackened with ducks. You know, like that seems like something we should do too. So now all of a sudden,
okay.
I know that I had so many dream hunts and now I'm just dreaming of all these hunts, but yes, definitely. I want to go to Scotland and hunt the Highlands with Georgina. That looks badass.
Let's do it. Hang out on the grouse moors. Yeah, I did set the dates already, but I can't remember what they are. So I'll get back to you on that.
Okay. Sounds good.
But we'll do it. Yeah, I think it's in August. It's like the beginning of their season. I'm pretty sure it's August because I know we wouldn't be missing any of our season here. So it's going to be like kind of our warm up.
Okay.
For season in US.
Pencil that in.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah. All right. I'm really excited to hear about your story today.
Well, I was thinking a lot about how most of the stories that I tell about Bird Dog about how bad he is. And I don't want to tell a story about how bad he is. I want to tell a story about how good he is.
Okay.
And he's like
the best.
How he's the best. And mm-hmm. how he has a great depth of emotion and understanding. And like, I started thinking about it when I shared with you that photo of him in the bathtub with my niece.
Yes.
So my little sister went through a pretty tough divorce. I don't think there are untough divorces, but she went through a really tough divorce. And it was our first holiday after that. And we were like out at the Oregon coast, and Emma was 5 and just was having a hard time. It was just a lot going on. You know, there's a ton of family, there's all sorts of stuff. And we had gone out for a sunset walk on the beach, and Emma had run into the ocean, because why wouldn't you? And we got back and my sister was like, Emma, you need to take a bath. Like, you need to take a bath and you need to get cleaned up. And Emma, in her 5-year-old wisdom, said, why? I already took a bath today. I don't have to take 2 baths a day. And Caroline said, Emma, you are cold and wet and sandy. You have to take a bath. And Emma stomped her foot, pointed right at Bird Dog, and was like, Bird Dog is cold and wet and sandy, and he doesn't have to take a bath. And I looked right at him and I was like, get in the tub. And he went into the bathroom in this like Airbnb that we were staying in and hopped in the bathtub. Only way that we got a 5-year-old in the bathtub. And he took a 20-minute long bubble bath where he had a bubble bath crown. She put a bubble crown on top of him, and he hated every moment of it, but he did it.
Mm.
It was like, and it was the That's only awesome. Way it happened. And I just was like, you know what? You are really, that's a solid bud. Like, that's a mm-hmm. real solid that you did. And he seems to know when there's trouble, when people are not, like, he's a hustler. He'll hustle anybody out of anything, especially sandwiches. But he doesn't take advantage of people who are emotionally upset. He did. Mm-hmm. I worked with a kid who had come out of a trampoline and was a functional quadriplegic. Amazing. Was told that he would never walk again, but he figured out how to walk again. But he kind of would trip over his own feet. And Bird Dog did lay in wait for him to drop a whole sandwich and then housed his whole sandwich, which was not very nice. But so he that was not a nice thing, but he did, he does seem to know when people are sort of struggling with, you know, like sadness and frustration and upsetness. He doesn't take advantage of that. So when I first got him, he was, you know, 8 weeks old, 8 or 9 weeks old. And I had a 12-year-old St. Bernard, Hudson, phenomenal dog, who was not really well, right? Like a 12-year-old St. Bernard is not a well creature. And Bird Dog loved him. He used to just chew on him and wrestle with him and play with him. And he would curl up in the pantaloons of the Bird Dog and nap. Like I would go looking for the puppy and not be able to find it and go pick up Hudson's tail. And there would be like a puppy curled up in the pantaloons of the St. Bernard. And as he got bigger, right? Like as Bird Dog got bigger and rougher, as wire hairs get rougher and rougher with their play, right, I used to separate him because it was just like, you can't chew on this old arthritic St. Bernard like you are. Like, this is not okay. And so I'd have to separate him a little bit and then like run Bird Dog, get him tired. And then he'd come and he'd always sleep on the St. Bernard and snuggle on the St. Bernard. But I'd have to tell him, I'd be like, hey, you need to leave the Bernard alone. You need to leave the Bernard alone. And so when he was 9 months old, we went to our puppy test. And so he got to hang out with all these other Bird Dogs. It was kind of the first time that he'd had a bunch of kind of equally matched playmates. And so they're running all over the place, like bite face game, chew your ears off. It was really aggressive play. And we did not take the St. Bernard. And so we came back and we got to the house and you could just tell that Colt was just so excited to go see Hudson. And he ran in the house and ran straight at the St. Bernard and then like pulled up and like slid like a cutting horse does, like to a stop, looked at that old dog and laid down so gently next to that old St. Bernard and never chewed on him again. Never chewed on him again. Or pulled on his ear. It was like he walked in to see his best friend and then all of a sudden realized that his best friend wasn't well. And we lost the St. Bernard 2 weeks later. Like that was the St. Bernard. And he never chewed on him again. And I have these pictures of Colt laying next to him, like really gently. And it looks like he's about to cry. Like he is so upset. And he used to just like throw himself down on top of the St. Bernard, like big flops. And then every time after that, he would just kind of like nuzzle his way in super, super gently and just be like, hey, bud, is this okay? Can I be next to you? And so when we lost the St. Bernard, I was like, oh yeah, that is your St. Bernard. Oh no.
What's going on?
He started getting these leg cramps.
Oh.
It's these Charlie horses in his hips.
Sure. So like, and he's crying?
Yeah. Like he gets this Charlie horse right in his hip. And it hurts so bad. It hurts so bad. It sucks to be old.
It does. It does. Do you have him on any arthritis stuff yet?
Yeah. He's on, he's got the carbaprofen. So he gets. Okay.
That's a pain med.
That's a pain med, yeah.
Do you have him on like Dasiquin or Cosequin?
Yeah, so he's been on that for several years now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So he's got his arthritis meds. He even gets a little dash of THC from time to time, like a little CBD.
Yeah, boy.
THC for dogs. And it does make it easier to go to sleep at night, I think. But in the last 3 weeks, he gets these like cramps, and he's due for a visit back anyway, so I think we need to get in there and see. Maybe he needs a little like gabapentin or something like that, but the timing of that was pretty pretty spot on. Yeah, so because
well, there goes his intuition, right? He's super super keen.
So we lost the St. Bernard, we had to put the St. Bernard down. And so we took off and we went to the beach for a week. And that was the first time he'd ever been at the beach, which is a great time. You know, there's, I mean, like you talk about fetid carcass. a marine mammal with a layer of blubber that is rotten on the seashore is, I mean, that's prime time. That is prime time. But we were coming back and we were about 30 minutes away from the house and he started making that noise. He started crying and crying and we got to the house and he ran in the house and started crying and ran around the house and the yard for like 2 hours, whining and looking and whining and looking. And then finally like sat down on Hudson's dog bed and made that noise he just made right now and just stared right at me, just like screaming like that. And I was like, hey buddy, you knew him for 9 months. I had him for 12 years. Like, I get it. This is a very sad time. This is very sad, heartfelt time. And I just, I was thinking about that, you know, when people talk about dogs and it's like, they get it, man. They have, they're happy. They're sad. They know what grief is. They know what stress is. They are sponges for emotion. And you can't tell me that dogs don't feel emotion.
Yeah.
Like, especially after that, where he just like came home and he was despondent. He was absolutely despondent for his friend. But they're also, they really, they'll know what you're going through, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I like with your niece too, because he was never raised around children, except for, you know, how often would he see your niece, Emma? A couple times?
Very, very rarely. I did have I had a neighbor, I had neighbors that had a 2-year-old and she loved him. And so I would have him, I asked them if Nola, that was the neighbor, if she would come over once a week and feed him. So, cause I just wanted to make sure that he knew what kids were and I didn't
have good for you.
So yeah, I made sure that he had a kiddo that fed him. But yeah, I mean, the first kid that he met was out on like was out on the trail. We were out walking and the kid had just eaten a peanut butter sandwich and had like half a peanut butter sandwich between its hand. And I think that was just love at first sight. Like he was like, this is, we should get one of these. Do they always taste like peanut butter?
Or just bring this one home. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Like this is amazing. It's like, I have so many pictures of him very gently eating Cheerios out of little fingers, which again, I go back to this really interesting thing about dogs, right? Is, you know, he'll snatch a milk bone. You know, you have to tell him to be gentle, but like you're feeding him a milk bone or like a biscuit or whatever, and he'll chomp on it, right? And then he somehow seems to know that a like a 10-month-old in a high chair, you have to like very gently remove the Cheerio from their little chubby sausage fingers. Like really? Like how do you know that that's a little human that, you know, requires more care? I don't know. Yeah.
Pretty incredible.
Dogs are amazing.
Yeah. But I love that you shared that story because he is a great dog. And anybody that meets him, I mean, we can, listeners can hear the stories, the good, the bad, and the disgusting, but there's, until you meet him in person, you know, then you really get the gist of it.
He definitely has an aura about him. He was funny. Back to like his, the Ben loves funny stories. But back to, like, so he used to, there is this very strange thing that happens in Bend, Oregon. I don't know if it happens anywhere else. Listeners, if you, I want to know how many people in the world walk around with pieces of hot dog in their pocket or salmon skin. Because there are a lot of women in Bend, Oregon that walk around with like a Ziploc baggie of chopped up hot dog or like salmon skin. And
what?
Yeah, it's this thing. I swear to God, like we have an huge off leash dog running area where you can take the dogs and run. And it's a great place for a wild hare. It's right by the river. There's tons of trails. And so you can just, you know, acres and acres, you can just let some wild hares run. But every once in a while, I will come across a woman, always a woman, it's never been a man, maybe there are men that do it too, who is being completely accosted by a wild hare. And I'm like, oh my gosh, get down. I'm like, why are you jumping up? And they'll be like, oh, well, I have this salmon skin in my pocket. And I'm like, what? Like, oh yeah, I bring these chopped up hot dogs. Like, get down. They're like, one woman told me that I needed to get control of my dog. And I'm like, you came to an off leash dog area with a pocket full of salmon skin and I'm the one who's out of control. But it totally happens. And so like when I was working the ski and bike shops, Bird Dog got to work with me. So he would go to work with me and there's this huge, big, beautiful fireplace. And so he loves a fire. He would just lay lamped out in front of this big fireplace, soaking in the warmth. And hundreds of people in the middle of winter would come through this door and he would never get up. He would never get up. And then all of a sudden someone would walk through the door and he would jump up and run over and escort them entirely around the store. And invariably, if you asked them, they had a pocket full of salmon skin or fucking hot dogs. And oh my God. I can't believe this is a thing. Also, I can't believe that you...
Is that printed in your local newspaper? Is that like a thing?
I don't
know. People get the memo for?
I don't know. I do not know. And that's why I'm super curious to know if anybody else has had the same interaction where you're out walking your dog and they lose their mind and it turns out that someone has a pocket full of salmon skin.
They're no, like, nobody needs to smell like stinky fish down in their pockets.
Right. Well, and like they sell it at a pet food store. Like it's like this sort of like not quite fully freeze dried. So it's still kind of slimy chunks of salmon skin for dog treats.
Wow. Never heard of that.
Yeah. I'm super curious. Maybe it's just a Ben thing. I don't know. But yeah. And I was always like, wow, your nose is really good because you've been dead asleep and someone takes two steps inside this door and you wake up out of a dead sleep and immediately know that they have salmon skin. And you sort that out of like 100 people walk through the door every day. Only one of them has a pocket full of hot dogs. I mean, I'm not kidding. There was a woman one time who produced a Ziploc baggie full of little chunks of weenies. And I was like, why are you carrying that into the ski shop? Like, I can sort of get it in an off-leash dog area. Like, you're going to know that you should know you're going to get accosted. But maybe you have a dog that's super naughty and needs to learn to come back. And so every time they come back, you give them a little piece of hot dog. I could see that as a training technique. But I would not go into that situation not expecting to be completely run over by dogs. I don't know if you know this about them, but they got this really powerful nose. They can smell a lot of things that you would just be completely set upon by dogs, hot dog seeking dogs. Like, but yeah, to come to
amazing
a with a pocket full of hot dogs. I just.
Not smart. Who does that?
Wonders may never cease.
All right. Well, our next Whiskey and Wild Hares is hopefully going to be in person.
Yes.
Is it 3 weeks? 4 weeks? Something like that.
I think it'll be about 4 weeks. Yeah. 3-4 weeks.
4 weeks. Okay.
It'll be four weekends. It'll be weekend, three weekends. One, two, three.
I don't know.
4 weekends from the weekend, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It'll be a good time.
Definitely.
Cool. Well, I'm excited to see you and Bird Dog and the Muppets in 4 weekends.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
28 sleeps.
I love it.
Maybe 27.
Yeah. Unless you're a dog and you sleep 7 sleeps a day, in which case it's infinite.
Right. And I will have salmon skins in my pocket because I just want to test Bird Dog's nose now that he's 13.
Oh, dude. I would dress entirely in like chain mail and like armor if you're going to walk around pocket full of salmon skins.
I've never seen salmon skins, so I'm going to have to find out who your pet store is in Bend and have them ship some to me, because it's going to happen. Thanks, Katie.
Bye. Thank you.